Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind. Warning. Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Capital Connection is attempting to establish a Christian conservative presence in our state's capital. Well, they rally pastors from the Golden State to meet with our representatives here in Sacramento to introduce themselves to these representatives to establish some rapport. It's a very good idea. Clearly, the left has no idea who we are or that we even exist, it seems. Truly, many liberals seem to think they're the only people in the state or on this planet, for that matter. More on that a little bit later. But if you would like to encourage this effort, you can contact Pastor Evertson or Mike Rogers. So go to awakeamericacalifornia.org. That's awakeamericaca.org for more information. I'm hoping to attend the next rally, where my good friend Dr. Paul Chappell will be speaking, along with Dr. Gibbs and Dr. Harding. It's sure to be an awesome God and country rally worthy of your support. Go to awakeamericacalifornia.com. That's awakeamericaca.com. And maybe I'll see you there. Okay. What's on the docket today? Well, Iran fired a test rocket, a ballistic missile. It is their habit, you know, to write death to Israel and death to America in three languages on their missiles. Ballistic missiles are primarily designed for delivering nuclear warheads, you know. And then Trump's response is kicking up dust around the world. Will Trump rescind Obama's transgender agenda to protect religious liberty? Let's hope so. It looks like Trump wants to end the restrictions against churches endorsing candidates. That's interesting. Trump, now here's the headline. Quote, Trump backtracks on Israel. Halt settlements. End quote. Really? Anyway, that's not really what he did. But anyway, Mexico retaliating against Trump's wall plans, turning to China and the EU to establish some, you know, some trade connections there. And thinking of China, it looks like the Chinese assault on the U.S. dollar begins in 2017. Collapse imminent, quote unquote. Whoa. The fair tax bill. You know, that should be getting a lot more attention than it's getting. And I'll bet anything I won't get to it today. And that's too bad, because that bill is long overdue. And of course, you've got the demonstrations going on, painting, actually, I should say, etching into our minds the modern face of liberalism or progressivism. And what's with the Berkeley berserkers? That's certainly not what America looks like. Or is it? One observation that surfaced as I looked into what's going on today is the notice that many liberals, it seems, believe they're the only people on the planet. I'm going to hopefully have time to give you a couple of excerpts showing that that seems to be their mentality. They seem to think of themselves as the center of the universe, that it all revolves around them and their issues. You know, that if things move contrary to their view of the world's coming to an end. And if they're sad, everyone's sad. If they're not happy, everyone's unhappy. Or at least they'll certainly make sure you are. Folks, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Iran fired a test rocket, a ballistic missile. And actually, we do distinguish between a missile and a rocket. The distinction, it seems to me, is one that makes no difference. You know, since all missiles are, technically speaking, rockets, elongated cylindrical projectiles propelled by the combustion of its contents. The distinction comes down to the idea that a missile is aimed at a target, while a rocket may or may not be aimed at a target. In fact, a rocket may not be a missile. It could be a firework. Okay? The point of this parsing is to say the Iranians are testing a missile, an ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile, which is designed specifically for carrying multiple nuclear warheads into space from whence they are launched at specific targets. It is the Iranians' habit, you know, to write death to Israel and death to America on their missiles in three languages, Farsi, Hebrew, and English. Ballistic missiles are primarily designed for delivering nuclear warheads. Iran has repeatedly declared their intentions, you know, like the nasty gals at the Women's March recently and the repeated declarations from their leaders that they are nasty. I suppose we should believe them. Iran has repeatedly declared their hatred for America and for Israel. I mean, what country writes death to America on one side of their missiles and death to Israel on the other side of their missiles and goes out of the way to write it in three languages? And they have been trying to go nuclear for some time. And Obama has been helping them. Hey, I'm just trying to put this in perspective for you. You know, I mean, I remember when we had missile attack drills in school. I remember when we were instructed to dive under our desks and assume the, well, fetal position, if you will, a duck and cover. Well, you know, hands behind your head, elbows down over your head and your ears, curled up under your desk. Any of you remember that? At that time, we were concerned that Russia was going to do a Red Dawn on us, you know, like what they're doing in Ukraine right now, huh? Wonder what Trump's going to do about that one. But we were concerned Russia would infiltrate South America and attack us over the border, you know, come in from Mexico, and at that time, assault our Gulf and Pacific coasts. So let's get some perspective on what it means that Iran fired a test ICBM last week, January 29th, to be precise. What did Iran do exactly? Well, they fired a medium-range ballistic missile capable of carrying a payload of between 300 and 500 kilograms. Now, that's anywhere from 660 to 1,100 pounds weight. Certainly capable of carrying multiple nuclear warheads. Can't get a straight answer on what is the weight of a nuclear warhead. I guess that's classified. I've been told it would be about 100 pounds or so. But what about the briefcase nukes we've heard about? Anyway, Nikki Haley tells us the ballistic missile Iran recently tested could easily handle such a payload. Medium range, well, that means it's built to travel between 600 and a little under 2,000 miles. Now, air distance from Iran to Israel is roughly 1,100 miles, you know, as the bird, or as in this case, the missile flies. And the reason all of that is important is because it goes to the question of whether Iran violated any UN resolution or treaty with the U.S. and what is their intention with these tests. Let's look at this UN resolution question for a moment. In 2010, UN Resolution 1929 included language that clearly prohibited Iran from testing such missiles. The Security Council, quote, decides that Iran shall not undertake any activity related to ballistic missiles capable of delivering nuclear weapons, including launches using ballistic missile technology, and that states shall take all necessary measures to prevent the transfer of technology or technical assistance to Iran related to such activities, end quote. Now, those on the UN Security Council, by the way, there are five permanent members of the Security Council, the United States, the United Kingdom, Russian Federation, France, and China. And these nations each have veto power. That is, any one of these countries can block any UN resolution considered, quote unquote, substantial. Now, there are 10 others on the council, making 15 total nations involved in the Security Council. But these 10 are elected for two-year terms. These have influence, but no real power, since the five permanent nations each has a veto over any decision made by a majority of the council. In 2010, when this resolution was passed, the idea at that time was to use this as a way to pressure Iran into a nuclear arms deal. Obama signed on to a bad deal, as we all know. This is important, so let's go over that deal quickly. First, the deal says that no U.S. inspectors are allowed to inspect Iran's nuclear facilities or their program. Yeah. Additionally, Iran does not have to allow inspections of any site that they have not declared to be part of their nuclear program. Now, think about that. We're supposed to just trust these people. If we dispute this and insist, well, no, we think you're hiding nuclear bomb-making activity, well, that can be adjudicated by a committee. But Iran sits on that committee. If it does get past that committee, well, then it goes to several other bodies before Iran is expected to open up that site to inspection, all of which can take about a month, plenty of time to clean up the site, if you know what I mean. Now, second, the deal included the lifting of sanctions against Iran that effectively frees up billions. We're talking $150 billion in revenue that it's feared can be turned to funding Hezbollah, Syrian Bashar al-Assad, and Iraqi militias. Terrorism, in other words. It's well known that Iran is the number one sponsor of terrorists and terrorist activities. The Obama administration was candid about their own expectation that Iran should be expected to spend some of that revenue on their military and on terrorism. As a matter of fact, Obama said this from his own mouth. Third, and I can still hear the chilling sound of Iranians in the streets chanting death to America while the negotiations were going on, and then immediately following the deal going down. Fourth, we got no American prisoners released with this deal. Fifth, it allows Russia and China to supply weapons to Iran. Now, Krauthammer observed, I think astutely, something that should be obvious to all of us. If Iran is able to secure anti-ship missiles, well, that's going to dramatically compromise our naval force that is presently engaged in keeping the waterways in the Middle East open for trade and for defense of our allies in the region, by the way. Finally, something like 70% of the Americans opposed Obama's deal with Iran, but it was railroaded through like Obamacare was. Effectively, it loosens things up for Iran to pursue nuclear bombs. But what is not particularly well known is the fact that not only did this deal give Iran the money and the cover they could use to go forward with their nuclear bombs program, it also relaxed the UN prohibition against testing ICBMs. Yeah. Right after the Iran deal was done, or right along with that deal, I don't have the chronology in front of me, but both of these things happened in 2015. A new resolution that terminated the old one specifically changed the language of the earlier ban, which prohibited Iran from testing nuclear warhead-capable ballistic missiles, to say Iran, quote, is called upon not to undertake any activity related to ballistic missiles, etc. You see the difference? First, Iran was prohibited. Now, Iran is called upon not to. It's almost as if they purposely moved to open the way for Iran to go forward with their ambition to secure nuclear bombs and the ability to deliver them. Now, folks, it's true that Russia, China, and our European allies, and I mean by that France and the United Kingdom, all on the Security Council, the five members that have veto power, all of them resisted efforts by the Obama administration. I think there was posturing on Obama's part, by the way. I really do, and I'll tell you why. But supposedly, Obama was trying to get them to continue the prohibition against testing ballistic missiles. But at the end of the day, that wasn't of sufficient interest to Obama because he didn't use his veto to stop it. So technically, because Obama could have vetoed this but did not, then Obama, with the support of France and Britain and, of course, China and Russia, you better watch this cozy relationship between these three, China, Russia, and Iran, by the way. You know, the three ribs in the mouth of Daniel's bear. As far as our national security is concerned, this thing falls on Obama's shoulders, man. It's to be dropped at his doorstep. He is clearly to be blamed for the fact that Iran now has the money and the legal cover to pursue the nuclear bomb and the freedom to test ballistic missiles that could be used to deliver those bombs. All of this thanks to Obama. Now, consider that this ballistic missile was tested with the slogan, in Farsi, written on one side of the missile, death to Israel, and then on the other side, death to America. Or do they write, you know, both of these slogans on both sides of the missile? Or do they write it? Anyway, that's an important technicality because, you know, someone's going to discover this, and then they're going to dismiss my entire point because I didn't get that fine point correct. Oh, and I should also make certain I mentioned the slogan is written in Farsi, Hebrew, and English. Did I not mention that? Just to make sure so we understand that their intentions are clear. Farsi, Hebrew, English. Come on. Death to America. Come on. Hold on through the break, my friends. I'll be right back.
The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal to release noneparephrine neurotransmitters and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow.
Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com for an archive of great brain massage shows that you can download and distribute to others free of charge. If you want to give us a gift to help with broadcasting costs, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Love him or hate him, the brain masseur is going to make you think. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheinbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Looks like I'm kind of zeroed in on the significance of Iran's ICBM test and its implications. Maybe I'll get to the Berkeley berserkers, I don't know, and the implications of that nuclear missile testing of another kind. All right, putting out the feelers to see how far such violent protesting can be done and tolerated. You know, querying whether America is ripe for a violent revolution. Funded by Soros and Hillary's foundation, you know. All hail Lucifer, that crowd, you know what I mean? The left has been showing their horns lately. We'll see. Anyway, we know from biblical prophecy that Russia and Iran will merge in the rising of the bear, Daniel's vision of the four beasts in Daniel 7, a signal that we are moving right on into the end game of the world's history. The bear is depicted with three ribs in its mouth, signifying three nations, no doubt, that are devoured by the bear. The beasts represent kingdoms, you know, in that prophecy, but also they represent the spiritual demonic power behind that kingdom. So it is very likely that the three ribs include this demon taking control of Iran, Russia, and one other power. We notice that these three ribs charge the bear to rise up and devour much flesh. Well, the three nations that could conceivably align into this triumvirate with that kind of purpose are Iran, Russia, and China. You know, these three have a very long history of varying degrees of alliance. They have deep, deep roots that meet each other and tangle together deep into history. Russia and China support Iran and supply Iran with weapons, you know. Thanks to Obama, by the way. Neither Russia nor China have really any great sympathy or history of connection with Israel. In fact, particularly with regard to Russia, there's a very long tradition of antipathy for Israel. Israel was the first nation to formally recognize Mao's China back in 1950. And yet, from 1950 to 1992, China championed Arab interests in the Middle East, not Israel's. However, since 1992, China and Israel have begun to reciprocate diplomatically and commercially. That might have had something to do with the fall of the Russian Empire. But it's an uneasy alliance because of China's natural and historical connections with Iran. Biblically, we know that the North, that refers to Russia, and the East, which would include Iraq, Iran, and China. Think about this. If the bear represents Russia, is it possible Daniel's vision sees Russia devouring Iran, Iraq, and China? That's interesting. Anyway, these will all send their armies down onto Israel and will be destroyed in the effort. If you think about what our Muslim president has done, his Iran nuclear deal, as I showed in the first segment, opened up the door to Iran to pursue the nuclear bomb and allowed a loophole to be created, allowing Iran to openly test ICBM technology. Iran writes death to Israel and death to America in Farsi, Hebrew, and English on their missiles, clearly broadcasting their intentions. They are brash in this way because, well, it's a religious thing with them. For them, it's all about Allah, you know, wants all nations to worship him. And so Allah is going to bless them in their work for Allah in destroying all the infidels or pressuring them to convert. You know, especially the great Satan, America, and the little Satan, Israel. For their vision of the future to work, we have to be eliminated, or converted to Islam. Prophecy indicates that Israel will be protected, that she will prosper in an environment of relative peace with her neighbors, according to Isaiah 2 and Micah 4, and that she will expand her borders all the way into Lebanon, according to Genesis 49, will occupy all of Jerusalem, but share it with the nations of the world, and that's Isaiah 2 and Micah 4 again, and that freedom of religion will prevail throughout that region of the world. And again, Isaiah 2 and Micah 4. I suggest that in order for those things to occur, it's going to be Islam that's eliminated. Indeed, Islam must be either destroyed or greatly changed. I forget who said this. I travel a lot. I talk to a lot of different people. And somebody mentioned to me that a Muslim man who had converted to Christianity said that Islam will not be humbled until it is virtually destroyed. He said that when America or some other nation or combination of nations moves on a decidedly Muslim country, say Iran or Saudi Arabia or Yemen or all of these, and wipes them out, I mean, just takes them down to rubble, you know, so that the Muslim world will see once and for all that Allah is not going to help them, you know, that they've been forsaken by Allah. That's when there will be peace in the Middle East. Make no mistake about this. Obama appeased the monster of the East. He fed it. He nourished it. He provided cover for that monster. He aided and abetted the creation of this thing and allowed it to hide and gain strength and helped with creating this loophole that it needed to test its missiles. Whether or not he did this intentionally, well, that's something students of history looking back on this can debate. I happen to think he did. Yes, I am convinced he hates America that much. I can lay before you a very convincing array of facts, circumstantial to be sure, but compelling to support that allegation. But one thing is certain here. Obama's policies have strengthened the monster we call radical Islam or Islamic extremism or Islamic fundamentalism. You know, Muslims who actually believe what Muhammad taught his followers concerning the infidels and the future of Islam. Well, now Iran is flexing its muscle, firing missiles near our ships a little while back, flying their jets near our ships in provocative formation. Yeah, now lately testing an ICBM, which has one primary purpose, by the way, to deliver nuclear warheads to specified targets. The targets written on the missile itself, death to America, death to Israel. You know, well, that missile could not reach America, you say. It could reach Israel. And give them time. They'll come up with one that can reach us. Add to these interesting developments the sort of person America has put into the White House lately, you know, to replace Obama. Ask yourself whether you think Trump will tolerate the stuff that Obama tolerated or will make the kind of accommodations to Iran that Obama has made over the last 8 years. Trump is exactly the sort of personality who would very likely provoke Iranian Islamic jihad-headed temperaments to go over the top and to crazy. I mean, Trump's the sort of person who just might be tough enough. And then, you know, with guys like Mattis at his right hand, you know, Mad Dog Mattis and others surrounding him, put it together, folks. Think this thing through. Line up the implications of the prophecies I mentioned earlier and then look at what's developing right in front of your eyes. Obama has set the stage for World War III to become open war. It's kind of a hidden war right now, but we're in World War III already. He has given Iran enough rope, and Russia too, by the way, to take us on in. That bungling of our response to Putin's advances in the Ukraine and the relations between Russia and Syria and Iran, all of it very troubling. I'm sure Trump hopes to use the friendly attitude of Russia toward him to his advantage in whatever negotiations might be forthcoming. We'll see how that goes, but you get my point. Trump, think about what we've learned about him. Trump reacting to a belligerent Iran, calling him a toy, you know, mocking him as the Ayatollah recently did, along with the support of a significant portion of the American population that are ready to be done with this death to America nonsense. I mean, you've got a ticking time bomb, my friend. I think Iran will discover very soon that Trump is not Obama, and they'll either get small and quiet, and they'll table their world dominion ambitions until more favorable winds blow again from America. Or they'll actually provoke World War III to go on into open war. And then we'll need to see what China and Russia will do. China's making moves to overturn the dominance of the American dollar, you know. If they accumulate enough gold to float them through the conversion, it might be a way for them to attack us financially, huh? I mean, after all, we did bring down the Russian Empire that way. Russia might be smiling at Trump at present to keep him off guard and off balance while Putin continues his military buildup in preparation for the big war. Iran testing the waters, perhaps, while the bear, the dragon, I, the eagle? It's all very interesting. It's very possible we're living in the days Daniel's prophecy, leading to the end, begins its fulfillment. Now, I've got a few minutes, so let's go ahead and talk about another nuclear bomb that's being tested right now here in America. And contemplate what we might expect Trump will do about that. I don't need to retell all the horror stories being played out in front of us daily in the news. The Berkeley berserkers have gone so far over the top, even liberals are getting nervous and uneasy. Or as I heard one panel of Black News, one reporters discuss, you know, are they nervous because these are mostly white folks doing this trash? That was interesting. You know, it's not a white or black thing, though, my friend. This is a left or right thing. The ideology of the left supports and encourages this behavior until it starts actually getting into the left's own backyards and they begin to balk a little bit. Interesting, isn't it? Now, folks, I really don't know if this is a pre-war exercise, you know what I mean? A kind of trial run on a planned nationwide uprising, you know, planned by the Soros and company and their ilk. But it certainly does look like the left is agitating for a nationwide uprising as if they want that to happen. It's as if they're priming and planning for a violent revolt, a sort of U.S. version of the Bolshevik Revolution, maybe. Get a load of this. Quote, a former Defense Department official under the Obama administration says there is potential for a military coup to remove President Donald Trump from power, end quote. That's relatively low level. Former administration official, yada, yada. But still, this is the kind of thinking that's percolating up to the top here. So Trump comes to the White House at a pivotal time in our history. As concerned as all conservatives have been about Obama's outrageous insults to our intelligence, our dignity, our sense of justice and fair play, as threatened as we were by his lawlessness and provocative incendiary rhetoric, as deeply concerned as we were about his disregard for our Constitution and our traditional values, as damaging as he has been to our nation of laws. You never saw the sort of nonsense that is going on right now among the left. I mean, you know, from the coloring books, okay, to rants calling for Trump to be killed, bombing the White House and all of that. I mean, to the most recent display of the left unhinged with the Berkeley berserkers. Friend, you never saw anything like that from the right in opposition to Obama. Trump is certainly a divine mercy, and it's probably even more mercy than we deserve, okay? But there is no question in my mind that divine intervention alone accounts for Hillary being defeated by Trump. Divine intervention, my friend, is the only answer that makes any sense. And I'm thanking God he has heard us cry for justice and judgment and equity to be restored, at least in some significant measure. How will Trump respond to the uprising being called for by the Obama bots? Well, that remains to be seen. What will Trump do in response to Iran's outrages? Well, likewise, that remains to be seen. The crazies in this world have been coddled so long, they think the world belongs to them. Well, let's see what happens when the adult steps into this mess and attempts to take the sharp objects from the hands of the children before they hurt themselves or destroy the nation. Let's pray together that the nation pivots toward our founding principles and that we move rightward, that we back away from the precipice to which Obama and company have led us. And with a Supreme Court pick like Neil Gorsuch, we are hopeful. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you call and let me know you see they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000 and say lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. Remember, February 19th, we've got Patch the Pirate and company that will be with us all day Sunday, February 19th. I hope you'll join us. If you prefer to write to me, go to thebrainmassageshow.com. Thebrainmassageshow.com. You'll see a place there to write me an email. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.